candles smell awesome.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
Do you know what that one's from?
No.
It's from Just Married.
I don't know what that is.
What?
What?
With Ashton Kutcher and Brittany Murphy.
Do you think I care about those people?
Dude, it's actually Brittany. First of all, hey, now hang on a second. Brittany Murphy was a great actor who passed away way too young.
Okay, I didn't know who that was, and I just was being a meanie.
Well, listen, there's a documentary about her passing on HBO, and it'll make you question some shit.
Okay.
But that's neither here nor there. Ashton Kutcher's in it. What's his name?
Yep, that's it. You know, you got it.
Hello. Welcome back to Bad Bandmates. Today is... You know what today is, Nate?
What's today?
Today is an episode where we're just going to gush over a band that we actually both love.
Mm-hmm.
And that band is named Pup. I'm sure you guys have heard us talk about Pup before.
Yeah.
They're great.
They are great.
And we just talk about it so that way if you haven't listened to them yet, you have a reason to. I don't know if we sway you in any of those directions, but if we do, now's the time.
Yeah. Definitely. You know what? It's going to be a little bit different. I mean, we're going to probably start with their, I guess it's like their first album. They might have had like EPs and stuff before that, but their first like main album, I would say, called Pup, which is self-titled. It's got a big old teeth on the front of the cover. And it's kind of a shorter, well, not like too short, but like it's like a, you know, it's a high energy, crazy romp through. I guess I don't know what kind of style of music to call them. I don't know. What would you call them?
I think that, so I looked it up once and they were labeled under math rock. I don't know what the fuck that means.
Okay. Not really.
I don't understand that. And they were also under, like, post-grunge,
yeah,
which I guess I can see hints of. And then there was, what's the thing where it's, like, metal, but it's not metal? What's that one called?
I don't know that.
It's not thrash metal. I forget what it's all these fucking subgenres. I don't understand.
Exactly. So, I mean, to put it simply, it's almost punk vibes with like a little bit of like yelling. It's like post-hardcore, I guess you could say, because it's not like breakdown heavy and stuff. But it's still like loud and chaotic.
It's basically a band that you would see in a basement, but
yes,
they made it, which is fucking amazing. Like Remo Drive, kind of that first Remo Drive album. It's similar ish to that, I guess, vibe wise.
Yeah. It's like, they're not playing perfect, but it's like everything they're playing is so,
perfect.
exactly. Everything they play isn't perfect, but where they place it and what they're doing is perfect for what they're doing, you know? And it's I mean, that's kind of one of the first things I wrote down was, what did I say? I tried to make a new genre. I wrote down garage band chaos. I don't know. I just... Because, yeah, it's very much like you said. I mean, you'd see these people in a basement, you know, and I think that's pretty accurate, you know. I think that show would be a ton of fun.
They're on my list of bands that I have to see.
Right. I'm in the same boat as you, and they are doing a tour and stuff, but we'll see with COVID and all that stuff where we're at. I think they'll be coming near us like April or something like that.
Yep.
And if we do go to that, if we finally start to get to go to shows, like,
that's,
God,
yeah,
It's finally going to be...
We'll be talking about them.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like that's going to be, like, the fun stuff to talk about. Like,
that was, like, one of the things when we were brainstorming this podcast. I don't know if you remember, Nate, but that was one of the things. We were like, dude, we can go to shows together and then talk about them. This is when we all thought COVID was going to be over in a summer.
Right.
And now I'm fucking 31.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it is what it is, and hey, I mean, we'll hopefully eventually get to that road, you know, and so, yeah. But yeah, this is definitely a bucket list band for me, for sure, to see live. You know, it's kind of one of those things, because I listened to this album, their self-titled, a lot, and the reason I found them, which I've said before, was because some dude saw a shirt I was wearing, and it was like some hardcore band shirt, and he was like, oh dude, such and such band rocks. And I was like, oh, thanks, man. And he just, you know, fucking walked past me, and that was it. But he was wearing a pup hat, just said pup on it, and based on the way he was dressed and based on him saying, oh, that band rocks, like, I was like, that's probably a band, and that's probably something I would like. And then I looked them up, and a random bit of vinyl that I ordered for some other band happened to be signed on the same label or something like that, and they, like, had my order delayed or something like that, so they were like, as a freebie, here's this other band that you have. So I got Pup's self-titled vinyl for free. It's on, like, this sweet, like, blue, like, marbly sort of vinyl. It's awesome. So, and then I have everything else that they've done, and of course, and the rest is history. But I'm more curious about this band and how you came to know them, and honestly, why you like them. And maybe you've said it before. Like, maybe you've said it before, but, like, again, this is... I think maybe the connection with you and Remo Drive, like you said, and you like that album. This is, yeah, I guess this is kind of on that same level, maybe a little bit more yelling and kind of stuff like that. But I guess that makes sense. But I want to hear more about that before we get into the album.
Sure. So I worked at Pizza Luce in Duluth, Minnesota.
Which is a pizza joint. It's a place where you get pizza. Place, yep. Yeah.
Yes.
Correct. I don't know if you knew that. Pizza Luce.
So when I worked there, one of the cooks actually always wore a pup shirt with, like, the sleeves cut off, and he was a cool dude. You know, he had a cool rat tail and some cool tattoos. He was a cool guy. I'm just trying to give you, like, a description, but he was a really nice dude. And he wore the shirt, like, every day when he was cooking. And I was like, what the fuck's pup? Is it a dog? What is it? And he told me it was a band, and he actually recommended this album. He said, look for the one with the teeth. Mm-hmm. So I looked it up, and I think this isn't generally, like, the type of music that I'm drawn to, I suppose. Same with maybe with Remo Drive, but what I'm a sucker for is local music, and I think why I like Pup and Remo Drive so much is because it's not perfect. Like, all of the songs are flawed. Mm-hmm. You know, like, the vocals are off key a lot. There's fuck ups in the guitar. There's a lot of fuck ups. But what draws me to that is I love local music. And every time I listen to specifically this band, because we're talking about it, it just feels like somebody that, like, I would have, like, played a show with and just fell in love with their music. And I think that's what draws me to it. I also really like yelling in music. I don't like the growling stuff.
Right.
So, like, the yelling in this is good. But there are a lot of things that are a little closer to, I guess, hardcore in this, which I don't know why I like it so much. But Pup is, they're really good at catchy.
Yes.
Have you noticed? I mean, everything they write.
Everything.
Every chorus, every verse is so fucking catchy. They're so goddamn good at writing shit that will get stuck in your head, even if you don't like it. And even if they're singing off key, and even if the guitar solo has, like, a weird note in it that doesn't make any fucking sense, it was probably an accident. It's going to get stuck in your head. They're so goddamn good.
Yes.
I think the first song I listened to was Yukon
okay.
off of this album, which was not a good introduction to Pup.
Definitely
not a good introduction at all. But it was good for me because it kind of brought me into the band slowly. And it warmed me up to the style that I was getting into, because you get little hints within that song of what they actually are. And then the second song I listened to was Mabu, it just doesn't get any catchier and awesome than that song.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's, you kind of hit some of the notes on each of those songs really, that I wrote down. Yukon's kind of in the middle of the album. And it, I've said this on multiple albums, but I mean, when you have those heavy or chaotic or loud bands, you know, as catchy as it may be or whatever, you need those kind of valleys sometimes to just
definitely.
You know, prep yourself to walk through the rest of the album. And I think listening to this album front to back, it sits perfectly. I mean, it's right in the middle, and it is more on the slow side. And I would say that that's kind of not necessarily the most true introduction you could get to Pup, but it is still very much their style and their song, you know.
It isn't the most true, but also at the same time it kind of is, because what Pup does really well is they take these really energetic, just fuck you in the face songs, but they always have something a little bit slow to break it up. And I've always pictured this song as kind of like a Western rock sort of.
Definitely.
And how many fucking bands, can do that? Like, as much as this isn't Pup, this is totally Pup, because nobody can do this. Nobody can pull this off.
Right. That's a perfect way to put it, like this Western sounding feel. Yeah, it kind of has that kind of, not in a country sense, but it just would be in a Western movie or something, you know. And it is very much where there's a band called The Chariot, who is just this chaotic band, and I don't know if they actually know what chords are. But they have a song on one of their albums. And the album is called One Wing. And I think it's the sixth song or something like that. The band is absolute chaos. And then for some reason, and they've never done this ever before either, they just break into this Western sounding guitar break, and it just ends up building and building and building, and it's whoa, this is so out of left field, but I also love it. And this song kind of, I mean, it just slows everything down with Pup. I'm talking now again, but this song slows everything down, and it just I you need that in the middle of the album, and I think that they understood that, and I think that's where they placed it, and everything else is pretty much high energy from there on, you know, before it and after it. And this is most of the, you know, the most slow song you're going to get for them. And then plus the guitar solo at kind of toward the end there, I mean, on Yukon,
makes no sense.
Yeah, no, it's very it's very odd. It's they wrote it in a different key.
They did. They wrote it in a different key, but then it'll go two bars, which is 1 2 3 4 2 2 3 4, and all of that in between will be just out of key sounding. But then they land it on a note that kind of pushes it back, and then it falls off a bit. And again, that's one of those things that who the fuck can do that and pull it off?
Yeah, exactly. That's one of the parts I love is those. Who knows if it's accidental? Who knows if it's very purposeful? But I love those little touches like that, where it's purposefully done imperfect, which is what we kind of talked about at the beginning. But they're still talented, and they're not just lazy.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like they're doing it because they're like, I guess this makes sense. It's no, they're very much talented. They know how to write hooks, and they know how to write, you know, song structure, but there's just weird oddities in there, and I think that makes them stand out.
I would argue that they almost are better at writing song structures than most other bands that I listen to. Just sure. if you take into consideration time signatures that Pup is known for, which this is their first album and you get a lot of it, but like the drumming on this, mm-hmm. I couldn't play a lick of this.
I think you could. I
don't know.
I was gonna mention the drumming and stuff too though. It is very much again, I'm not saying this as a dig, but it's like very sloppy and sloshy, like with the cymbal work and stuff like that, but at the same time it's just like spot on time. Like it's just like yep. I don't know. I don't know if it's just a mesh of everyone doing everything they do together very well. I think that's what it is. But there's a lot of cool stuff that the drums do, like lots of switch ups here and there, playing on like either the bass drum rim or like maybe one of their tom rims in certain parts, mm-hmm. which I always love because that's something I never think of to add into like the songs that I've ever made. Mostly because it's just like, it's not worth hitting that because it makes such a little sound that I'm like, I'm not going to do it. I'll just hit the tom itself. But like in a recorded session, you obviously have a mic like right next to it or something like yeah. that, you know. But yeah, I love the drumming. I love the guitar work. It's chaotic. And there's little that you can tell that they've done probably so many different styles of music, like cumulatively. And then they just kind of landed on this, which I think makes them, again, unique, you know, so.
Yeah, you can tell that everybody brings, like, a little something different into the band. And I almost wonder, now that we're talking about the drums, I wonder if forgive me, I don't know the drummer's name. I don't know if you do.
I don't. Not off the top of my head.
Well, I'm not going to Google it. I almost wonder if the drummer is the reason why they're classified into math rock, because a lot of it is very, sure. very timing based and like odd time signatures and not so much vibing. And I would mm-hmm. imagine that when he's playing these songs, he's probably not focusing on what the rest of the band is doing as much as where he needs to hit what he needs to hit.
Yeah.
And I suppose that would kind of lead them into the math rock category. I don't yeah. see it anywhere else, but I could see it for the drums, I guess.
Sure.
Because there's not much that, like, you can tell the difference between somebody who's vibing with a band and then somebody who, like, has specific parts that they play and, like, they're counting to get to those parts, if yeah. that makes sense. Yep. It doesn't make it necessarily disconnected from the music, but it makes it different than when you're watching, like, fucking Dave Matthews versus Pup.
Right. Yeah, exactly. so, yeah, I guess that, I mean, This is the album. If we want to go, I mean, we've already talked about Yukon. You touched on Mabu, but we can obviously hit that. If you want to start from the beginning, honestly, I know we say this every time, but like, I don't have much to say on this album because I think it's all very consistently good, and
I agree with that.
A lot of the same stuff that they do on each song kind of carries throughout, but they're doing it in different ways, you know? And so,
yeah,
that's the general feeling.
I started writing track by track, but it's really hard on this.
It is. Yeah.
It's really hard on this album. So we can go into it a little bit if you want, but I don't necessarily have a track by track. I do want to make a comment though, and I want to see if you noticed this.
Yeah.
I haven't listened to this album in a second. I burnt it out when I first found this band.
Yeah.
And definitely. Then I think their album Morbid Stuff has become, it's slowly moved into like my favorite category. So I've been spinning that one like heavily. And then they just released some new songs. So I'm on that. So I haven't been back to this probably in close to a year maybe. And it's fun to listen to their newer stuff and then go back to this because you can actually hear like riff ideas.
Yep.
Maybe some melody ideas that they actually brought over and incorporated into newer songs, newer material. And that's fucking rad that they did that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That's one thing I wanted to mention. So if we start at Guilt Trip, I mean, yeah. as soon as I hit this, you know, hit play on this, I was kind of just hit with this, like, unique wall of sound with this kind of high-pitched sort of lead guitar jingle going on, and, like, there's gang vocals that come in, and yeah. It's just this, like, this is the recording sound that I like, too, because it's not polished. It's not perfect. Right. It is what it is, sort of thing. And maybe they were all just like in the same room and jamming it. You know, that's the feel that you get with this style of recording. And as soon as you hit play on this, I feel like it's one of those where you're just like, it's a perfect like road trip like album. Like because you just hit play and you just go, you know, and, mm-hmm. Side note, I think in this music video, Finn Wolfhard is in it from Stranger Things. If anybody, you know, if you watch that, but
you're right. I forgot about that.
He's like super young kid, so like he's in this video, but yeah, he's like he's in it. I think maybe I wonder if they're from like the same. Because I think Pub is Canadian, right? So, like...
Yeah, they're from Ontario, I think.
Wondering if they're, like, in the same area or something, you know? Who knows?
Could be.
But this song is just... Yeah, like you said earlier, when you listen to their newer stuff and all that, you can, like, tell they've definitely honed their craft, honed their sound to, like, make it a better version of what this was, you know? Mm-hmm. And yeah, you get that, especially on this song. I feel like this song is just like, man, this song is good. It just goes so hard.
It's so good. It's so good. And it carries so many. What I love about this album is each song carries so many different vibes,
mm-hmm.
like throughout it. And Guilt Trip, I feel like, is the best example of that. There's so many different little vibes that they put in that. How do you not pick parts of that to use it again? Because they're all so fucking solid. But right. I love that where there's an open chord and then there's just washy drums and then there's just really staccato banging like halfway through the verse. It's fucking amazing.
Yes. So good. Yeah. If I ever was in music again, I mean, which, you know, obviously I would love to do more music and stuff, but I love this style of band and I would definitely do this. You know, it's like it's perfect. So
yeah, I agree.
Anyways, I mean, that's Guilt Trip in a nutshell. It's just everything. It's got this crazy guitar lead that, which they do a lot of that, where they'll have like a lead guitar, just playing this very sing-songy sort of sing-along, melody. And I love that. It just makes it that much more special. But then, Reservoir, I mean, same thing. It just kind of keeps the energy up, and there's a lot of like extra noise and stuff that, of course, if you were in a more produced production sort of mindset, like you'd get rid of that, obviously. But I feel like having those extra touches of like little feedback here and there, squeals, like, yeah, I think that's
what gives it the feel.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. That's some of my favorite parts about them. And this song has a lot of that Reservoir mm-hmm. does. So,
and if I'm not mistaken, Reservoir is like at their, maybe not now, I haven't seen them, but from videos I've watched, Reservoir is like the big song where they always have someone come up on stage to do the vocals for it. And like everybody knows the words and it's very like call and response kind of vibe. It's super good.
Yeah, it's up there for like the songs in this album for me, you know. Yeah. So I don't know, not much to say other than it keeps up that
song.
It keeps up that energy they have. I think, man, this one of the aspects I love is just their vocal work. First of all, the main singer has kind of, I would say, a unique voice.
Oh, for sure.
You know, very high pitched, and a lot of it sometimes can almost seem like, I don't know. Remember that there was that big phase of people who were doing like spoken word stuff, and And like he kind of almost has like a yelly sort of spoken word, high pitched sort of vocal style that I obviously could turn people off from like listening to it, but
I love it too. I think he's incredible, but I could see where it may be described as an acquired taste.
Yeah.
But I fucking love it. I think it's great. It could be, I mean, I guess for some, like my wife, I'm sure, I know, off-putting when she first heard it. And I get it. It's different, but it's not that he's off pitch or like off key. It's just different, but it's fucking good.
Yes. Yeah, let's, so we can move to Mabu.
Mabu, fucking love this song.
Yeah, the opening little riffage, very, very good. I mean, I love the, again, this kind of shows that sort of sloppy but perfect sort of guitar work, you know.
Yep.
It's definitely not perfect, but they do exactly what they need to do. And so, yep. Yeah, another great track. It keeps the energy up still. I mean, you know, this is the third track in, and I love the guitar work, especially in that like solo section. There's kind of a little solo section, I think, at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird that like I would like that, because it's almost like ear piercingly like high, like, and very like, and distorted sort of, you know, but like, I love that. Like because anybody else would be, you know, probably steered away from like, maybe that sounds a little annoying, or like maybe that would hurt people's ears too much. Well, no, Pup does it. So, and I applaud them for their bravery in that. But yeah, I think it's a great track. I do love just how high they're willing to go with their guitar work and make it a little bit chaotic and sloppy. Yeah.
I love the music video for this, because the song is about, I'm sure you know this, Nate, but the song is about a car, one of his cars. And for the music video, he took that car when it was just about dead, and then he entered into, what is it, an enduro or whatever, where you just crash your car into other people, and they just filmed that. And I thought that was fantastic.
Oh, that's so awesome. Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't watch the music video for that, so I didn't know that.
Oh, but it's so stupid.
I'll have to watch it. They did a lot of music videos for this, actually, I think. They did, I mean, I'd have to look, but I think they did like four music videos, which I feel like is a lot for like a 10 track album, you know?
Yeah, that is quite a bit. But this is their first album too, so.
Yeah. So, but I love this track. I mean, I love this album. Never Try would be the next track on the album, which I didn't look too much into the lyrics on this. I just being frank, but like, I know that, especially with Morbid stuff, like a lot of their lyrics are pretty like depressing and down and like stuff like that. But like they find a way to make this like kind of dark and depressing music, like make you happy and sing along to it. And like, I felt like this one, I was like, just rename the album Anthems for the Depressed to Sing Along To, because I feel like that's like the energy that they like exude, but it's good. Like, I mean, I think that, I think music is such a good, I think it can be a good escape for some people. I know it was for me, you know, I don't know lyrically what this one is about, but it just kind of like, I was like, yeah, we can just rename this the Anthems for the Depressed to Sing Along To.
Yeah, I wrote, this is as filler for Pup as it gets, but it's still like worthy of attention, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I think, but like, again, there's just such a catchy nature to their music, and this has such a, I think it would be their chorus in this, where it's just, it makes you want to like scream along, and especially they have those kind of like woes in there. They do the whoa, right, woes, yeah, a lot, which, you know, is good stuff when done properly. And I think they always do it great. So
I agree.
Yeah. And then, then we kind of hit into Yukon, which we've already touched on. It's a perfect dipping point into the middle of the album, I think.
Yeah, it's a perfect break. And I did notice that the first three songs were kind of more in the major scale.
Yeah.
And then Never Try was still a heavy hitter, but it was more on the minor side, a little negative.
Yeah.
Lyrically speaking. And then right into Yukon, which is just seamless transition and like a perfect way to structure an album.
Yes.
Just beautiful.
Agreed. Yeah. And again, this song is kind of the only track I would say that maybe you could cut a bit of it out, you know, just to kind of keep everything moving. But like also I still love what they do with this song, especially when it's almost like it seems like the song has ended, you know, they kind of crash out, and then he comes right in with his screaming his vocal lines, and then they kind of crash into the, you know, I love that. Even though this song does kind of drag a little bit for me, I think I like what they do with it, even though it's not necessarily all out hype like the rest of the album is, you know. So, but it doesn't mean it's a bad song. I like this song. So,
then we go into Dark Days, and it just puts you right back into that major scale pop rock, I'm gonna call it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what I wrote down. It was for a song called Dark Days. This has the most happy sounding, you know, backing track to it. It has like these upstroking sort of almost guitars in some sections, and again, it brings it right back to the major scale of things, and kicks everything back to upbeat, you know. And it's a great song. I mean, they know how to write a dang tune, you know.
And, yes, they do.
And again, this is a little bit of us just kind of, you know, giving praise to a band that maybe people don't necessarily know about, but I think it's worth it because I think every song on this album is just dang.
It is. Good. It's so wild because I would argue that like the next two or three songs would be classified as filler on an album,
sure,
but they're fucking not though. Like even though you forgot about the songs, when you hear them again, you're gonna remember it and you're gonna want to sing along. They're just that good.
Yes. Similar to you, it had been a while since I've listened to this album specifically, but like I still knew every beat and every like chorus and every, you know, like it, like maybe not all in total lyrics, but like at least the structure of the songs and stuff. And it just, it catches you, you know? And
yeah,
I don't know. It's just good stuff, man. Which was kind of my ending note, which spoiler, I just kind of wrote, I don't know,
it's
man.
It's good stuff.
This is just good shit, you know? But yeah, I don't know if you have any specifics on Dark Days, but we could always move past that.
I don't. I just wrote pop rock.
Yeah.
It's just like the definition of what this band sounds like when they're in a major scale, and I fucking love it. They really know how to bring you down and bring you back up.
That definitely. This next song, Lionheart, it sounds like a it's just so good, man. I'm trying to like,
it is. This is like one of the probably most forgotten about, but one of the most sing-alongable, which is a word,
yes,
with the, oh, oh, that little shits. I fucking love that. Give me some haze or some woes to sing along to, and they fucking
and you're
just
good.
Rock it on this track.
Yeah, it almost sounds like almost, and I say that because I don't want to be like weird or insulting, but it sounds almost like those like late 90s, early 2000s, like college sort of like movies, and like you just hear that when everybody's going onto the college campus, you know, sort of thing.
Like American Pie and all that shit.
Yeah. But like way better. Like, you know, it has that sort of energy of just like almost like we're heading into like this party, you know, and it's just like woohoo.
Yeah.
You know, so which I think this song, I don't know if the song is about a party, but I think they had a music video for it and it was just everybody in a basement partying. So,
yeah, which is. I've seen that video and it's so fitting for this band because like this, again, this band is a basement. They're a basement band.
Yeah.
That's what it should be. It should be a party in a basement. Just a bunch of people.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. And so again, cool idea for a music video too, by the way. It's just like, it looks like someone actually just like set up their like iPhone or something and just hit record for the whole night, like, and and it's just a basement party, you know. It's just like it starts with, I think the singer gets 2 40-ounce strapped to his hand and like he's just like drinking those, and which if you've ever played Edward 40 Hands, first of all, don't because
just don't.
I mean, I had a bad experience. I mean, it was fun, but like, man, when you have to pee and your friends are like, we're not going to take off the bottles until you finish. And like, you're just like, well,
you pee your pants.
You pee right in those. No, I didn't pee my just pants. Pee I, pants.
Oh,
I did.
Dude, just pee your pants next time.
I finished them and then I peed. But there's actually, back when Vine was a thing, throwback, dude, for all you people who didn't know, there was a thing before TikTok called Vine. There's just, there's a running joke where my friends and I, there's a movie I think called Jump In or something like that. It's one of those like Disney movies with like Corbin Blue in it or something like that. I think it's the jump roping movie. I don't know what it's from. I just know Corbin Blue sings it and it's called Push It to the Limit. And so anytime my friends and I, you know, got drunk or whatever, and if someone puked, we would always pull that song up and just like play it really loud because you effectively pushed it to the limit. so there's stupid. Just a there's a Vine that before Vine went away forever of me just with 240s strapped to my hands and then just Push It to the Limit is playing in the background, and I just toss up all that liquid I drank. So I think it's on my computer still somewhere. Maybe I'll find that and send it to you, but we digress. Back to Pup, but that's the kind of energy that I feel like maybe is there. So anything else on Lionheart or
no, we can move on to Cul-de-Sac, which is, as you know, Yukon was the slow song of the album. Cul-de-Sac is another break, I would say. A little more wavy, a little more vibey, a little more spacey.
Yes.
But beautiful. Still beautiful.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this, again, it's, I have no negatives, really, to say. Mm-mm. Most of the standout parts are definitely in kind of the first half, I would say, because like I said kind of earlier, they do cycle a lot of the ideas, but they do it way differently on subsequent tracks, you know? And so, I mean, this song is great. The Cul-de-Sac is great. You know, Back Against the Wall, which is next, is great. Factories is good, you know?
I love on Cul-de-Sac, there's a really, it seems like it's a really far back guitar that follows kind of on the melody.
Yeah.
Did you notice that? But it's like tucked really far into your right ear, but it follows along with his vocal melody on, I don't know if it's the verse or the chorus or what fucking part of the song it is, but it's those little additives on the song that helped it from not being too fucking long. Because this song could have dragged, I think.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for shit like that.
Right. Right. Definitely. And that's, I think that's what they're good at. Like, is not overstaying their welcome and also just doing those little things, like adding a guitar line that kind of helps string things through. And, yeah, so, I mean, that's it. That's Cul-de-sac. What do you have to say? What do you have to say about Back Against the Wall?
If I had to pick a song on this album that I didn't think was necessary, it would be Back Against the Wall.
Okay.
That being said, I really fucking love this song, and it's because I think it's at like 30 seconds when it kicks in for the first time. They have O's.
Yep.
And like, when I first started listening to it, I was like, yeah, we're rounding the end of the album. I feel like this doesn't really need to be here. But then they put in those O's, and I'm like, yeah, this fucking song super needed to be in here.
Yeah.
And definitely. Then after the O's, it like, it cuts out a little bit, and it's just this like tom, and like, I think there's he's hitting like a tambourine or some shit. And he's just gently singing and kind of waving for a second, then goes back into this like kind of punk rock, pop rock sound that they do. It's just a fucking gorgeous song.
Yeah. The O's are exactly what I wrote down. That's a standout for this track. So, mm-hmm. I mean, kind of in the same vein as you. I mean, it's just, it's like, yeah, okay, we're winding down. And then they hit you with those O's, and it's just like, woo, baby.
Yeah, dude, this is that kind of shit where, like, when they were just hitting the scene and, like, these were the songs that they played, this is a perfect song to have as, like, your second to last or third to last in a set.
Sure.
Because, you know, people get not bored, but they get tired at shows. But then you put this kind of sing-songy shit back into it, and you fucking jump right back up. So good. So yep. good.
Definitely. Mm!
I love this band!
Yeah. and then we come to the end, which would be Factories. What do you think?
Factories is, dude, so Factories is cool because there are so many pieces of this song that I hear in Morbid stuff. So many pieces of it. It's almost like a riff compilation from their album Morbid stuff to me.
Yeah. Definitely.
But it's a perfect ending to this album because it hits on every vibe that they've given you. Like, it has the major positive pup tones, and then it has kind of the darker pup side, and it has the more punky rock side. It kind of has everything all into one little, what is it, 4 minutes? 4 minutes, 30 seconds?
Yeah.
Such a good song. And it's got the gang vocals in it. It's just so goddamn good. I don't even know what else to say. It's so good.
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up for me too. You know, I think that honestly, more than anything with us talking about this album is, again, just shed some light on them a little bit if you haven't heard them, because I feel like there is something for everyone in this band. I mean, like, I think that you can, I don't know. It's just, I think they're so infectious that you can't help but like sing along. You know, you can't help but like hit those whoas, you know, that they do. And they just kind of get stuck in your ear and they don't go away, you know?
Dude, have you met my dad?
No. Well, okay. Yes. I had to think for a second.
Okay. All right, so you met my dad, so you know him. For those that don't, I'm not going to describe him. He's my dad. But, like, he's a Led Zeppelin guy, Chicago, you know, all these, like, 70s rock bands. But on his retirement party last year, we had, like, a little party in my backyard, and I didn't know what to play, so I just put Pup on shuffle. And this album specifically is the one that came up the most because I guess it's the most played on Amazon Music or something. But he fucking loved it. So Ooh. Even if you like Led Zeppelin, there's something in this for you. No matter what you like, this band is great.
Yes, Absolutely. So, I mean, honestly, I think the only flaw I could say is that UConn's a little bit long, but again, like I said earlier, I think that the things they do to it make it okay to be the length it's at. Other than that, I think through and through, this album doesn't overstay its welcome. It doesn't, it's not too in your face where you're going to be turned off by like a bunch of screaming and yelling. I think that there's it, you know, it's short and sweet and it's just has high energy. So I think that if you're on a road trip or something like that, I think this is a perfect album to just front to back, throw it on, see how you feel about it, you know, yeah. Because I think you'll find something you like with it. And I stand by that.
I do, too. I stand by what Nate said. I popped some earphones in, earphones, whatever you want to call them. And I went for a nice little walk after work today by myself in the nice winter weather that we're having here in, where do I live, Wisconsin. And it was great. It made my walk go so fast because this album is just so good. And I honestly kind of forgot how good this one is because yeah. I haven't listened to it for so long. But it's this band is so close to perfect, I think.
Yeah, they truly. For me, I mean, I think eventually our plan is maybe work our way through some of their albums and stuff. Maybe we'll give it a little bit of a break, you know, for a while. But their second album, the album after this, I guess I should say. I don't know if this is technically considered their first or what, but the album after this, Morbid Stuff, and then they did an EP called This Place Sucks Ass, which is hilarious. I love that. I think Pup is up there for one of my favorites. So they just released two new songs.
Mm-hmm.
I think to kind of tease their tour, which Josh and I were talking about. First of all, the artwork is super dope.
So fun.
It kind of, it feels like Pup's vibe, very happy and stuff looking on the surface, but then it's like a tank or something like that. Yeah. So it's like, So I think that matches their vibe perfectly. But anything else on Pup or this self-titled album in general?
I've got nothing else. Just if you didn't listen to it yet, you need to. You need to go listen to it.
Yes. Please do. And in the meantime, yep. So this has been Bad Bandmates. I'm Bad Band Nate. Whoa.
I'm Bad Mate Josh. What'd you say?
Yep. And this has been Bad Bandmates. So go listen to Pup and do the thing.
And get fucking vaccinated. Jesus.
Yeah. That's a good tip. Just the tip, though. Thank you. So,
it's really all I got.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Hey. Okay, bye.